One reason the state's role has changed so rapidly is that COVID-19 spreads like wildfire. In less than 4 months, it has gone from a market in Wuhan to almost every country in the world. The past week logged 253,000 new cases. People are scared of the example of Italy, where almost 74,000 recorded cases have overwhelmed a world-class health system, leading to over 7,500 deaths. That fear is the other reason for rapid change. When Britain's government tried to hang back so as to minimise state interference, it was accused of doing too little, too late. France, by contrast, passed a law this week giving the government the power not just to control people's movements, but also to manage prices and requisition goods. During the crisis, its president, Emmanuel Macron, has seen his approval ratings soar. In most of the world, the state has so far responded to COVID-19 with a mix of coercion and economic heft. As the pandemic proceeds, it is also likely to exploit its unique power to monitor people using their data. Phone data helps modellers predict the spread of the disease. South Korea says that automatically tracing the contacts of fresh infections using mobile technology gets results in 10 minutes instead of 24 hours. This vast increase in state power has taken place with almost no time for debate. Some will reassure themselves that it is just temporary and that it will leave almost no mark, as with Spanish flu a century ago. However, the scale of the response makes COVID-19 more like a war or the Depression. And here the record suggests that crises lead to a permanently bigger state with many more powers and responsibilities and the taxes to pay for them. The welfare state, income tax, nationalisation all grew out of conflict and crisis. As that list suggests, some of today's changes will be desirable. It would be good if governments were better prepared for the next pandemic. So too if they invested in public health, including in America, where reform is badly needed. Some countries need decent sick pay.